Hi, welcome back to the program, AM PM Sports, ESPN1005.com. I am Aaron Moret. Be with you for the next 40 minutes or so. ESPN1005.com, the archived audio page at Aaron ESPN1005 on Twitter and Facebook.com/Aaron Moret. Facebook.com/Aaron Moret. We talked about the Bucks and their massive crowd at the Bradley Center playing in front of 11,000. If you think the Bucks are mediocre, the Washington Wizards last night got a 100-90 victory over the Portland Trailblazers. And with the victory, the Wizards went over 500 for the first time ever since 2009. 4 years they have not been over the 500 mark at any point in time. Not even starting out 1-0 or anything like that. So if you think things are bad in Milwaukee, well, they're probably worse for the Bucks, because the Bucks are not going to come close to sniffing 20 games under close to 500 this year. Not with the record that they're at right now. But over the years, Washington has been another pitiful team, much like it has been in Milwaukee as well. Again, if you want to get a hold of me, you can do that at Aaron ESPN 1005 on Twitter, at Aaron ESPN 1005. We're going to take a look at the latest mock draft for the Green Bay Packers from the Bleacher Report. We'll have that coming up here in just a couple of minutes' time. Had a few interesting picks that would like to go over with you. You know, we're talking about Peyton Manning in the previous segment. For as good as he's been throughout his career, and some of the things that he's done are undeniable. 5 MVP awards. How can you argue that? Clearly one of the better quarterbacks of all time. But for as good as Peyton is, this defense for Seattle may be the best of all time. You know, Peyton is known as the guy, the quarterback, who constantly finds and exposes a defense's flaws. And he didn't do that against Seattle. So it leads me to wonder, does that mean that Seattle doesn't have a weakness on defense? The question also comes up to me, and now watching Seattle after watching, you know, and covering Green Bay for seasons upon seasons, I wonder, is Seattle great? I know they are, but maybe as somebody who watches the Packers constantly, it's kind of a bloated greatness because of how we've become accustomed to the Packer defense looking. And when you contrast what Seattle does, there couldn't be a bigger gap between the two. Either way, Seattle's defense is outstanding. And I don't know where they have a weakness. Now, we'll see what happens in the next couple of seasons where they have to start signing guys like Russell Wilson and Richard Sherman. There's a few other guys that they have to sign to try to keep that core together. And, you know, the window of opportunity to win a Super Bowl in the National Football League is so small, you have to take advantage of it. And at some point in the next 2 years, Seattle is going to have to start making some financial decisions on which big players they want to keep and who they want to part with. But if you're a Seahawks fan, you have to feel pretty good about where you sit right now with a young team, guys on defense who are probably going to continue to get better. Now, it's going to be very difficult for them to repeat as Super Bowl champions next year because it's just a hard thing to do. You have everyone gunning for you. You have teams with an entire offseason to make adjustments to what you do. But you have to feel that looking at things right now, they'll probably be a number one seed coming out of next year. And what a rivalry it is going to be once again between them and the 49ers. Because there's only two dominating defenses in the NFL today. And as we saw, defense wins championships. I don't care what the structure of the league is, how many good offenses there are. At the end of the day, you can win a championship with a great defense and a average to maybe a little above average offense like Seattle has. And the two teams who are most suited to win the Super Bowl, both with their defense and their coaching staffs, are the San Francisco 49ers, Seattle Seahawks. And fortunately enough for those who get to watch, they are in the same division. And some great rivalry games with them. You know, back to Peyton Manning for a minute. You know, it wasn't just a bad game for Peyton. You know, people want to say, well, you know, those who defend Manning and don't want to label him as somebody who chokes, who plays poorly in big situations, they say, well, you know, he picked a bad day to have a bad game. But that wasn't the case. It wasn't just a bad game for him. It was a choke. Think about it. He set records all year, even in the AFC Championship, with the numbers that he put up against New England. From week one, where they blew out the Ravens, through the AFC Championship game, he was doing amazing things. He didn't have a bad game all season. He did not have one bad game. So why did he suddenly stink in the Super Bowl? How does that make any sense? You go through the entire year setting records, basically flawless, and you just so happen to have a bad game on the biggest stage? Oh, I find that a little fishy. That you're that great, flawless all year, and then, well, you just had a bad game when it came to the Super Bowl. Well, nothing you can do about that. Happens to the best of us. That didn't happen to Peyton this year. Not until he showed up on Super Bowl Sunday. It was the only bad game he had. Does that tell you something? Tells me something. That, you look at things logically. And I don't know what other conclusion you can come to other than that he choked. One of the very fascinating discussions to have is the stat that I gave you yesterday that Brett Favre and Peyton Manning both have. They are very similar quarterbacks. Both are guys who are record setters. Favre holds every record in the book. Peyton's going to break many of those, if not all of them, except for the interceptions record. Both have one Super Bowl win. Both have been to another and lost it. And both have had times where they've played poorly in the playoffs. Peyton and Favre both have 12 playoff losses, which is the most in NFL history. Peyton is now 11-12 in the playoffs. And my question is that a good thing or a bad thing? It means you've gotten there, but it also means that you've lost an awful lot. So what do you think? Is it a good thing or a bad thing when you have 12 playoff losses as a quarterback? Because it's taken an awful lot of regular season wins to get you to that many playoff games, and you've won some playoff games if you've lost 12. But the fact that you can win so many regular season games and lose out in the playoffs, again, looking at things logically, seems a little bit fishy. Josh tweets at Aaron ESPN, says it's a double-edged sword. Not sure why they would be at the top of many lists. If you could have any quarterback of all time for one game, If I could have any quarterback of all time in the history of the game for one game, in the regular season, I mean, I would take Peyton. But I can't say that I'd do that in the postseason. Frank tweets at Aaron ESPN 1005. Hey, at least one of them doesn't hold the all-time interception record, too. Now, that would be Peyton Manning. We'll take a break. We'll have more. We're going to look at this Packer mock draft coming up. Who the Packers may get. A lot of defensive players that pique the interest of those who cover the Green Bay Packers. We'll tell you who they are, what positions they play, what Ted Thompson needs to do, what he needs to look for. That's all coming up. It's AMPM Sports on ESPN 1005.com.